Hello, everybody, and greetings to you in the mighty and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This name is amazing because the Bible says there's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we can be saved. It is in the name of Jesus we have forgiveness of sin. It is in the name of Jesus that we connect with God. And it's also in the name of Jesus we have the victory. What a wonderful and mighty name that we serve. The last time we met in church was on March the 15th, when we had the Watoto children come to be with us. And it was in that meeting we said that we will convene again on April the 5th, which is today, to have Holy Communion. Now, you all know that with the extension of the MCO, that is not possible anymore. And even though that's not possible, you know, we can still have communion. Isn't that wonderful? You know, in the early church, I read in Acts 2 and verse 46, the Bible says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So close, isn't it? How closer can we get, you know, than this, as the early church gathered together to pray and they broke bread, and we're going to break bread together, and you're going to do it in your homes. If we just thank God for technology, that we have the equipments, we have high tech, and today we can still have communion. But it's nothing like marrying and bringing together high tech and the high touch of God. And when we do that, there's high praise. And so we want to thank God for technology. We also want to thank God for His grace, for His mercies, and also for His anointing. And so let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, this day we ask, dear God, that you will bless us as we meet together to break bread, to remember Jesus, and to worship you, and to allow you to speak into our hearts and our lives. And we pray all of these in Jesus' most wonderful name. We ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, you may want to get some bread. You have not. I mentioned this last week. Some bread, some biscuits, some fruit juice, and then we'll get ready to have communion after my message. I want to bring across to you a message this morning. It revolves around the idea of the cross for a crown. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 22, verse 7 to 21. The Bible says, "Then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a water jar will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Now he will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus has told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I've eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and he says, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many.' You see, friends, the Holy Communion has its roots in the Jewish Passover, when God brought them out of Egypt. How after 430 years of slavery under the wicked Pharaoh, God raised a man, and God always uses a man or a woman because that's God's method. And he raised a man by the name of Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt. But King Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not allow the Israelites to go just like that. And so God brought one plague after another, and finally, God sent a death angel whereby every firstborn male child, you know, would be killed. And so that day, that night, God told the Israelites to slaughter a lamb, take the blood, apply it on the doorpost, the lintel of the door, and when the death angel would come, instead of passing through the house and killing the firstborn, seeing the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the angel of God will pass over, sparing the firstborn, you know, in the Israelites' home. And that's why this celebration is called the Passover. And the communion has its roots there in the Old Testament. Now, fast forward, Jesus here is with his disciples. The Bible says the day on unleavened bread came, and it was customary for them to slaughter the Passover meal. And Jesus here, being found with the disciples, he said to the disciples, I've long desired to spend and to have this Passover with you before I suffer. And so taking the bread, he broke it and says, this is my body given for you. And then held up the cup and says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. You see, when Jesus took the bread and he took the cup and he says, this is my body that's given for you, says this cup is the new covenant in my blood, he was not just speaking of the bread and the cup in a symbolic manner. He wasn't. He was actually describing events that will soon happen in his own life. You see, the cup speaks of the agony of judgment and the promise of blessings. No wonder Jesus referred to that cup as the new covenant in his blood. It is going to cost him much suffering, and is going to cost him his life. Now, later that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was agonizing in prayer over the cup of judgment that he had to drink. And so he cried out to God in anguished prayer, saying, Father, if it is your will, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Take this cup away from me. You know why? Because Jesus knew what is going to happen to him. The weight and sin of the entire world will rest squarely on his shoulder. And it's no wonder when that happened, when Jesus finally went to the cross, the Bible says that Jesus cried out to God and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, the cup was a cup of pain and suffering, yet it was a cup of blessing. Jesus knew that the cup that he was about to take was a cup of agony, pain, and blessing. But Jesus also knew, you know, that he has to take the cup, has to drink of that cup in order for us to be blessed by God. And then Jesus cried out to God, not only saying that it is possible, he says, not my will, but yours be done. You see, friends, it's no wonder that in the Passover meal, that Jesus called that cup the cup of blessing. The cup that Jesus raised and said, "This cup is now the covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And years later, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of the Lord?" That is the cup of blessings. The cup tells of the agony of judgment on Jesus' part and the promise of blessings on our part. In short, it simply means the cross for a crown. What a loving Father we have in the Almighty God. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. And what amazing paraclete, partner, one called alongside us that we have in the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Trinity, and praise the Lord for that. Now, the main thrust of the communion is basically to remember Jesus. Because Jesus himself said, "Whenever you eat this bread, take this body is given for you, do it in remembrance of me." And Paul would say, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. You see, God told us, instituted this ordinance or sacrament of communion so that we will not forget. And Paul says, every time we break bread together, eat of this bread, drink of this cup, you know, we remember Jesus. And God told us to do that simply because of the human tendency to forget. Now, when it comes to remembering birthdays and anniversaries, now let me ask you, between guys and girls, you think who will be more likely to remember those dates? What do you think? I think girls. The women are always better in that. Sometimes Monica will tell me to remind her of something, and I will always say to her, you know, after some time I say, "Please remind me to remind you," because I'm always forgetful. Now, I once read a story about a guy who forgot his anniversary, wedding anniversary, and his wife chided him for that. And his reply was, "Dear, I did not forget our wedding anniversary. It's just that I forgot that it is today." Well, remember me. And we have to remember Jesus by remembering to be a number of things. One is to remember to be thankful. Thankful for the blessings that God has blessed us with. Thankful that Jesus went to the cross. He did not quit. Even though he was tempted to, yet he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And because he drank of the cup, which was an agony of pain and suffering, you know, yet it is a blessing to us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, the NIV version has this to say, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ?" Well, church, let's be thankful. Thankful even though there's lockdown, we are not locked out of our house. We have a roof above our head. We have food to eat. No, we are with our family. While thousands out there are still finding and hoping, you know, and wanting to get back home. We can be thankful for family. We can be thankful, you know, for salvation. We can be thankful that God reached down to us and called us out of darkness to walk in his marvelous light. We can be thankful that Jesus died for our sins. Number two, remembering Jesus by being faithful. Now, in that Passover meal, Jesus said to the disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." And of you know the story from hindsight, it was Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus. And so in the midst of communion, in the midst of being together with his disciples, You know, I read the passage, I'm just amazed because Passover meals are to be spent and to be celebrated and eaten with your family. But Jesus was not with his family on that Passover. Jesus was with his disciples. It shows how close-knitted Jesus was with his disciples. And yet, you know, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus despite of Jesus having poured out his life over the course of 3 years, you know, into his life. So let's be faithful, church. Let's be faithful. Regardless of the challenges, the difficulties, let us be faithful. James chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And so, friends, let's take up our cross. Let's be faithful. You know, let's stand the test of time and trials, because God will give us the crown of life. It is not a cross for a crown. Remembering Jesus, number three, by being humble. You see, as you read the Gospels, and as you read the passage in Luke chapter 22, as you read down that passage, you'll realize that Jesus says that someone's going to betray me. And he said also, it's best that that person would not have been born. And so the disciples asked this question, is it me? Is it me? Am I the one? And strange enough, as you read further down in Luke chapter 22, when it comes to chapter 22 and verse 23, 24, you realize not only did they ask, is it me? Am I the one who's going to betray you? They were so full of themselves because they went on to say, am I the greatest? Because they asked Jesus, who would be the greatest among us in your kingdom? You see, friends, be humble. And it was there and then that Jesus said, I confer to you a kingdom unlike the kingdom of the world. In the world, people lord over their subjects, you know, but in the kingdom of God, we stay humble regardless of our status in life and society. And the Bible says, the greatest is the one who served. Those were the very same words of Jesus. So, friends, stay humble, remembering Jesus by remembering to stay humble, because pride always goes before destruction. And lastly, number four, be watchful, because Jesus is coming back again. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus was the Passover lamb, yes, but Jesus was also and is also the coming King. That's why when Jesus broke bread and he took the cup, he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. The last time Jesus drank of the cup was at the Passover. It was a cup of blessing for us, but a cup of judgment for him. But the next time Jesus, our risen Savior, would drink of the cup once again, it would be a cup of celebration when he comes for us as the groom and we as his bride, and there would be the marriage supper of the Lamb, because Jesus will be coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There will be a great reunion. There will be a great marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And so, friends, stay faithful, stay watchful, and may our cry be like the Apostle John when he wrote Revelation. He says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's a song, a hymn, and I love hymns because my earlier days growing up as a Christian was in the Methodist Church. And there's this beautiful hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. and just watch this short video and be blessed by this old hymn and their lyrics, and so sing along, and then later I will come back again and we will observe communion together.
Sinners was slain.
What a wonderful song, isn't it? The old rugged cross. So let us continue to cherish, be thankful for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Let us be faithful to Jesus, cling to the old rugged cross. Let us live our lives for Jesus and look forward to His coming again. Let us lay down our trophies, our pride, and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And when the day comes, that day comes, when Jesus comes back for us, we will exchange the cross for a crown. We're going to observe communion right now. And the Bible says that the night on which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He broke it and says, "Take, eat. This is My body given for you." And so, Father, we pray, bless this bread. We ask, dear God, as we break bread together, I pray Your blessings to be upon every location, every household, everyone who is partaking communion with Me right now. Lord, I pray, God, that Your blessings will flow through our lives. Your healing, Your protection will be our portion. So, Lord, we eat this bread in remembrance of You, dear Jesus. Let's eat of the bread, shall we? Father, bless this cup. Thank You, dear God, for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Jesus, thank You for coming and making Yourself so real to us, for dying on the cross in our place and for our sins. Lord, thank You, God, when You held up the cup, You said to us, "This is the new covenant in My blood." And God, we thank You for Your great sacrifice. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for forgiving us our sins. And so, Lord, as we drink of this cup, we do it in remembrance of You, and we do it in anticipation of Your coming again. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Let's drink of the cup, shall we? I'm going to close in prayer, and after which I'm going to ask God to bless you with a benediction which I will speak into your lives. So, Father, we thank You, dear God, for this time that we can break bread together. We thank You, dear God, for Your love for us. And we thank God, Lord, that You said You will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we thank You that You're a faithful God. In the midst of trials and difficulties and challenges, Lord, You are always faithful. And we know, Lord, this season of testing and trials will soon pass. And when it does, dear God, help us, Lord, oh God, never take our liberty, never take our worship, never take our relationship with You, never take the blessings of God for granted. So bless us, we pray. Bless us throughout this entire week. In Jesus' wonderful name, we ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He who calls you is faithful, and He will also do it. God bless you. Have a great week ahead, and don't forget to stay safe, stay connected with God, and be blessed. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.